ho, 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 ho. It is episode 9 of the... Oh, jeez, that was horrible. Welcome to the Press Play and Tape podcast, episode 9. It's me, Daz, one of your hosts, and I also have Alex here.
G'day, Daz, mate. Mate, what? I thought you were going to be on Australian Idol with that rendition of Ho, Ho, Hoing.
I'll sing you a song if you want. That would win... Would you like it to?
Please save.
Are you keeping up with the Commodore?
Because the Commodore is keeping up with you.
Ah, duet, mate. We won it. We've won.
Oh, that's it, mate. We've done it. Yeah. I was going to say, if your ears aren't bleeding, then stick with us because, it's going to be a Christmas shenanigans episode.
Yes.
And it's just you and I, Daz, for the first time in a long time, I think. I think probably from since episode 1.
Really? I know we've had a guest pretty much every episode. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we have. I guess that leads into the highlights, I guess, for 2015, I guess general highlights. But, Press Play on Tape highlights. I know there's been plenty. I mean, it's been great. Well, first of all, Daz, it was your idea. And, we've pretty much... got cracking with it, and it's been a lot of fun. But the guests, all the people that have been on, it's been great, and it's been well received by our audience, which is great. Interaction on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Yeah, you know, I have to say I'm very grateful for that, because I was thinking, who wants to hear two old bloody bastards talking about computers?
Yeah, well, you're still a young buck, mate. You've still got a 3 in front of your age, so that's all right.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, well, I won't argue with that.
Don't ever argue, mate. All the people that have come on the podcast have been awesome. Thank you very much for your time coming on. And obviously yourself, Daz, I love being on here, man, and just, it's the interaction we have, man. It's just awesome. I feel like we've known each other for, you know, probably since the 80s, but...
It's true. You know, because, like, you know, you did have your spat on the RD podcast.
And
obviously you couldn't commit the time a lot and all that, because it was a lot to do. I mean, you've got your site, we've all got our own lives, and I thought, you know what, I want to do something just with me and Alex, and I thought this was the perfect opportunity to do something, and it's been great. It's been a great year. I can't believe it. We started in April, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, and it's just gone. I mean, the years go fast anyway, but I know every month we record this podcast, it's like, I can't believe it's already, you know, the next month. It's like, wow. And I know we've got so many ideas and things we want to cram, but that, I guess, leaves us to do even more episodes or great episodes next year as well.
That's correct, you know. And it's hard to squash so much in 1 hour because it just goes so quick.
Yeah, it does go so quick. And I know that was a feedback from our guests. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. We can talk for another hour. We just really, you know, spoke 10% of the stuff that we wanted to speak about. So
that's correct.
Yeah, that's why we might have a few people come back and finish off what they actually have to say. So,
I totally agree.
Yeah, but what have been your general highlights, Daz, for 2015? Sorry to put you on the spot, mate.
It is. It's pretty difficult because I've enjoyed every single episode. It's been fantastic. I'd probably say the one I enjoyed. Look, I can't say. See, I feel bad saying enjoyed the most because, look, I did enjoy all of them.
Yeah.
But one that I felt connection with was the Spectrum episode for some reason. Maybe because, like, I still want to know more about it, and I really enjoy the computer.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I actually thought you were going to say the MSX Masterclass one.
Oh, that was great too. That was great too.
Yeah, I would say, look, like yourself, it's like picking your favourite children. You can't. All episodes have been awesome, and all our guests have been great. But yeah, if someone put a gun to my head and said, look, I'm going to pull the trigger, you better choose one, I would say MSX Masterclass. And that is because, purely because, and my lack of knowledge in the MSX space. So to actually learn so much, and I know we packed in a lot in an hour, but...
Oh, it was brain overload.
Yeah, it was, and I reckon I could have heard another 3 hours, and I was just mesmerized. It was really, really cool interaction, I guess, and to learn more about, or well, to learn a lot more about the MSX. And speaking of which, I love your new one, Daz.
Yeah, you just ruined my surprise.
Oh.
Oh, you're a monster. Yes.
What?
Yes. Even though I did just post it on the web, on the Facebook page, so no, you didn't ruin anything.
Okay, press stop. Press stop on tape and rewind. Yep. And yeah, let's redo this again.
Okay.
Sorry, Daz, I stole your thunder, man. Go for it.
Guess what? I got my 14th wedding anniversary.
Oh.
From my wife.
What is it?
Mitsubishi MSX 1.
No way.
There you go. Yes. Yeah. So with the help of Tony Cruz, obviously, I saw it on eBay and I said, is this any good? And of course he said, it's good. And yeah, just gave me some tips about it and saying, because it's the Japanese model, I need a step down converter, etc. And I took the plunge, told the wife, I go, look, can I please have this for our anniversary, 14th wedding anniversary? She said, okay. So yeah, and it just came today. So I've yet to plug it in. So
now, dude, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Second of all, you've got an awesome wife.
Oh, no, she's awesome.
And third of all, this is exactly what we keep on talking about, the community. The fact that you just went to Tony, asked him a few questions, and he gave you, feedback. And and the rest is history. So that's what I mean. Yeah. We all help each other out. And that's just great. But I'm busting for you to actually test it out, man.
I'm dying too.
Hopefully before our next podcast, which will be in 2016, funnily enough.
Yeah, that's scary.
But away from Press Play and Tape podcast, what has been your other highlights of 2015?
Oh, okay. There are many. See, again, you put me on the spot. I mean, obviously it's not going to be just vintage computer related. I finally have my dream cab, which is a Street Fighter II Hyper arcade machine. So that arrived. I ended up getting that this year. I'm really happy about that. Actually, it just feels like I'm in my local chip shop again. It's fantastic. It's got a pretty much a brand new CRT in there. So,
oh wow!
Yeah, it's crystal clear. It's fantastic.
Now, was it there when I came over your place? Or
no, it wasn't. No,
no, it wasn't. You're in the midst of actually getting it. Yeah.
Yeah, I had one already, but it was a Super Street Fighter 2, but the cab was a little bit older, and the screen was okay, but it wasn't as crisp. So I sold that one and got this baby. So, awesome. Another highlight. Let me see. I had something. All right, this is going to be... look, I'll leave the best till last, but this is kind of really geeky. Back in the days of my C64, even Mega Drive, I would dedicate myself to games. I would strive to finish them. Okay. So many games I would play and just go straight through them, feel relieved, and just I'd be so happy that I finished these games. Well, as soon as I got into my late teens, into my 20s, I never dedicated enough time to games, like to actually complete them, like a full-on, like an RPG or something like that.
But Daz, is that because I guess you start going out, your hormones...
Partly. But... I don't think games haven't really got me hooked as much as the old ones. So my attention span for the game wouldn't last. There was your odd game like Halo 2, for example. Mm-hmm. Actually, Halo 2 I still didn't finish. But a game that came out this year has just, you could say, just made my... Look, I've always loved games, but has actually taught me to sit through a game and finish it. And that game is called Bloodborne on the PS4.
Oh, wow.
The game is just phenomenal. It is just... for a game to be one of my highlights of the year, and it says something. I think the game is just... I haven't had so much fun of a game in over 10, 15 years.
Oh, wow. Dude, that's a huge rap. Yeah.
Oh, it's a big call, yes. And it's... The game is just phenomenal. It's just... Just check YouTube and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's hard as nails and it is phenomenal. Okay, away from that geeky stuff. More geeky stuff, actually. I would say PAX. Yeah, PAX again this year. Meeting up with the boys, having a laugh with you guys. And that's pretty much it. They're my highlights.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought up PAX, man. That was definitely, and I know we spoke about it briefly in the last episode, but yeah, PAX was definitely a highlight for me. That was huge. Everything just came together beautifully, and it just like previous years, you just have fun meeting a lot of people, which is what it's all about, and you know, people loving seeing the old gear and the old games, and you know, we had pinball and arcades in there, and that was just a big wow factor as well. So you know, obviously we have to make it bigger and better next year. The other highlight was actually at Supernova back in April. I happened to cover the time zone, Supernova time zone, pinball championship, the Victorian State finals, and that's where I met Norbert and Scott Kellett, Scott whom ran the pinball area for PAX, and yeah, that was just a fateful event because I hit it off straight away with Norbert Snicer and Scott and the other guys that I met on the day as well. And yeah, it was just you know, a casual conversation about to have pinballs at PAX, and yeah, and then you know, a few short months later, yeah, we've got pinball tables arranging pinball tables up for PAX, and yeah, just so it all went smoothly, and show, you know, meeting new people and what you can achieve and what you can actually get to. So that been a highlight. So meeting people in this community is definitely a highlight of any year, but especially this year.
Definitely. No, yeah, I agree.
From a get perspective, I guess it's I got the Bally Astrocade / Astrovision / Computer System / Arcade or whatever the bloody hell it's called, and it is a brilliant system. I know it's not a computer, but it's you know, the 70s vintage, and I just love the thing. It's I'm ashamed to say that I didn't actually know much about it, and I can't recall how I got across that particular system, but I'm glad that I did. And I'm glad that I got one. And
sorry, did you find it locally?
No, it was from the US, and it was, I think it was from a Salvation Army type store in the US. And so, you know, it was all boxed, and because they said it was untested, right? Obviously, the price, because they go for a fair bit, right? And this was like a quarter of the price, and I thought, oh, should I take the risk? And so I thought, you know what, I'll take the risk. It looks in pretty good nick, you know, thankfully when it arrived, it fired up. And
so what is it? Is it a Bally what?
A Bally Astrocade.
Astro. Oh, I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, so it's 1978. I might be wrong. I haven't got Google to actually check. But, okay. Bally.
1977.
Sorry.
1977.
Oh well, there we go. So same.
Wow, same, it came same out.
Yeah, same year as the Atari VCS. Look,
it cost $299 US when it was released.
Well,
wow.
And the reason why is that there's like a calculator pad on there, right? And and they're trying to make it out as if it's a computer system, and that's why, you know, I thought I'd bring it up. It's not really. I mean, you can actually get a basic cart, which I do have, and you can program. But man, typing on that keyboard, come on.
Yeah,
I mean, it's an absolute joke, but the design, the whole wood veneer, and the fact that you can actually house—I might be wrong here—but 20 of your carts inside, where that plastic thing is above, it is awesome. So they actually thought about the design. It just looks fantastic, and the controllers. Oh my lord, the controllers are probably, you know, way ahead of their time. Analog, so it's like a trigger. But you can use it as a paddle, so you can steer, and also as a joystick. Mm-hmm. All right.
Wow, the graphics look really good.
They really are. And actually, now I remember why I actually came across it. I was talking to Serby about Wizard of War, and
it looks awesome.
yeah, exactly. Well, it's called the Incredible Wizard on there, but I think I actually was doing some research of all the Wizard of War conversions, and I came across this Incredible Wizard on the Bally, and I thought, man, that looks fantastic for something from that, you know, era. And yeah, look, and that's the other thing, it actually came with six games, and one of the games was that. So, and they were all still shrink wrapped, dude. They were shrink wrapped games.
Wow.
So they hadn't been opened. So I was the first one to crack them open, and I played Incredible Wizard or Wizard of War, and it is almost, well, it is arcade perfect. It is brilliant. I love the Commodore 64 version, but this one's this one pips it.
Well, the games are cheap for it, though.
Sorry?
The games are cheap.
Yeah, well, that's what $10. I don't understand. That's what I understand. I've actually bought a few more games for it, and I'm looking at them right now, and they're actually brand new, and they still haven't been opened since 1981, right? So, and you can pick them up for like $12, right? And
yeah, it's crazy.
If you do combine shipping, it's great. So the fact that it hasn't caught on, and people obviously don't know much about it, that's why it's selling cheap. And obviously, if you're in the US, you can pick them up, you know, and get free shipping and whatnot, so it's even better. So even with our dodgy Australian dollar, I still get a pretty good deal. And so that was a big highlight from a system perspective for me.
Oh, good on you, man. Congratulations. That thing looks really cool. Jesus, yeah, they're really expensive units, man.
Yeah.
About $500.
I've seen them now. And look, even back then, they were around that much. So that's why I thought, so even loose, which I don't really care for box, right? I'm not going to pay $200-$300
for cardboard, yeah.
But this actually came with the box, and it was a quarter of the price, and it was a buy it now or an offer, I think. I might have given them like $20 less than they accepted. I can't remember exactly, but I remember being rapt when they accepted it, and then being nervous. Oh, did I just buy a paperweight?
yeah.
So yeah.
Congratulations, man. Any more highlights?
Sorry?
Is that it? Your highlights?
Yeah, man. I actually was trying to do two things at once, and then that's why
okay.
Yeah, you know how it is, man. I'm sequential, I'm not multi-processor, multi-threaded. It's one thing at a time.
Okay, so you're an Atari ST and I'm an Amiga.
Oh, come on, man.
You like that?
There's no need for that. I'm single-threaded, man. Single-threaded, but full-on.
Yeah. All right, cool bananas. So what are we looking forward to in 2016?
Man, that's a very good question. Since I was talking for the last few minutes, I guess we'll start with yourself, Daz. What are you actually looking forward to next year?
You know, I don't know. I think I'm looking forward to the unknown.
Ooh.
How's that? Well, wow. What's 2016 going to bring for me?
Wow. So you're actually going to leave it open-ended and be totally surprised?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's nothing else I don't really, you know. I'd say PAX again, you know, but we'll see how that goes, obviously. But that's like nearly a year away. But I don't know if there's anything I'm really looking forward to. You know, at the moment, I'm just looking forward to Christmas holidays, to be honest, and chilling out and play some games and plug in my MSX.
I was going to say maybe part of your 2016 is, a wish to have more time to actually devote yourself to some gaming.
Yes.
I mean, as much as we love gaming, be it retro or, you know, the new stuff, I don't know about yourself, Daz, but I struggle to find time to play. There's always something that distracts you or something to be done. And gaming, unfortunately, is an absolute a luxury for me at the moment.
It is. It always takes a back seat. Always takes a back seat. You know, if something more important comes along, that has to take a back seat. So, if I was looking forward to something, it's obviously unknown, but I would like to find a decent priced Amstrad CPC, but the 120K models with the disk drive. If I can run into one at a decent price, I'd be very happy.
Well, you might have to enlist Paul.
Yes, he's helped me. He's helping me. He's put me onto Amstrad forums, but they just with the Aussie dollar, the UK pound is so strong.
Yeah, now look,
it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. I'm not willing to shell out more than $150 posted. There's no chance. I can't do it.
Yeah, I must admit, the British pound's always been strong, but with the dollar tanking to a point, it's almost like, you got to take a break until the dollar gets stronger, which is unfortunate. So I know I've tapered my spend quite considerably since mid-year this year, so...
Oh, yeah, I've slowed down a lot. I've really... I mean, this MSX, I mean, this, that's a rare occasion these days. I mean, if anything, I'm buying the occasional game on the PS4, if anything, because it's cheaper than buying a retro game these days.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to say...
Sad.
Yeah, well, it is definitely sad. I know. Part of my 2016 is that look, I've got a few holy grails, but I don't actually think I've got any systems in that list. I guess the last system was the Bally that I really was looking forward to getting. But I don't think there's anything else that stands out from a system perspective that I really, really would love to have.
I'd love to have
another pinball machine, but. That's a multi-year thing, man.
I'm not even gonna bother with pinball, man. I just can't afford it. Actually, I was coming close. I mean, I would have bought one if the person was willing to sell it. And I really, if there's one more system I really want retro-wise, that's a Vectrex.
Yes. Yeah. Look, I would say if I didn't have one, I would say the Vectrex is it's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful system. And unfortunately, A, they go for a lot, and B. Mm-hmm. Some of them, they come across as tested, but then, you know, when you get it, either the screen goes or the sound's gone or the actual controller doesn't work. And those controllers, to buy them on their own, we're talking about over $100, and that's without shipping. So.
Really?
Yeah, forget it, man. You won't be able to get a second controller for under $100. And if you do, good luck.
Wish me luck then.
However, if you have a look on eBay, there's an Australian guy that's made, I forgot what it's called, but you can actually plug in.
Mega Drive, yeah?
Yeah, Mega Drive, yeah. I mean, I know it's not the same, right? But, save yourself, $100 and buy this for 35 or whatever it is, $40. And
it'll probably play better anyway on that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, sorry?
You'll probably play the games better that way anyway.
The actual stick on the Vectrex is an analog one, so it depends. It depends on the game, dude. But you're right, because the buttons are basically in a straight line, whereas on the Sega pad, it's a little bit better set out. So you're probably right. Mm. I should actually buy it just to check it out.
If I was you, I'd just buy it and just use that and keep your pads on the side just in case they broke.
See, I like how you think, Daz. Mm-hmm. That's why I love you, man. That's why I love you.
Well, that's like me. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay.
But I was going to say, I do have three highlights that come to mind for 2016, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all Kickstarter stuff.
Okay.
Two of them are docos and one's a book. I'll start with the book, Commodore, The Amiga Years, Brian Bagnall's book, which is a continuation of Commodore, A Company on Edge. Mm-hmm. I'm so looking forward to that book. It was due before Christmas, but Brian had new stuff come in and he really wants to include it in the book, which is great. So, hopefully in the first quarter next year, that book will come out. I'm busting to read that. It's been a long time coming. So I don't know if you've read A Company on Edge?
Dan? I've got it. Yeah. I bought it when it was in release. I got the hardback. I love it.
It is a great book. So, I mean, that was so good. I can just imagine the Amiga one's going to be even better. So, I can't wait. I mean, I'm not a big book fan, but these particular books. Oh, I mean, yeah, I can't stop putting them down.
Yeah. No. Fair enough.
Yeah. From Bedrooms to Billions, The Amiga Years. I did back that one, and I'm so looking forward to that coming out after the first documentary, obviously, from Bedrooms to Billions. That was awesome. So I can just foresee that the Amiga one will be bigger and better. And the good thing is that the creators have kept us up to date, and it's going awesome. So looking forward to that one as well. And the last one is Growing the 8-Bit Generation, which has had a bad rap, because I think they were on Kickstarter and it didn't, they cost blowouts and whatever, and people lost their money, so they had another crack at it. I backed it, and so far it's on track, I think, for next year. I might be wrong.
But, it's a Kickstarter, is it? Okay.
The reason I backed this one is that, and I don't know how these guys, but they actually got Jack Tramiel before he passed away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So there's a few. Now, I know a lot of the documentaries sort of follow, the same, or they use the same people, but this one actually uses people that I haven't seen on any other docos, right? Well, there might be a few, but the majority are actually guys from, especially from Commodore, that haven't appeared on the other docos that I've seen. But Jack Tramiel, as soon as I saw that, I thought, man, I gotta get this. So looking forward to that one as well in 2016.
I didn't even hear of this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, it's called Growing the 8-Bit Generation. As I said, it got a bad rap, so it might have scared a few people off the second time around.
It's pretty expensive. I don't want to sound negative, but...
Yeah, look...
50 that was, euro just for a download?
Yeah, look, that was part of the feedback as well.
Yeah.
And look, I have to agree, it is. It is a lot. But yeah, I think it will be worth it, Daz. And if it's not, well, oh well, it's good luck to them. And obviously,
yeah,
I would have learned from that. But really, really looking forward to all those things coming to fruition next year. And obviously the unknown, like yourself, Daz.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say something. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Houston book, by the way.
Oh, yes.
It's been 2 years and still nothing. But, as far as I know, it was delayed because I always want to add this new stuff to put into it. But it's been over 2 years now and I'm getting a bit impatient. So hopefully it does get released this year. Next year, sorry.
When those things happen, I know I had another project that I backed and it was like, well, it wasn't that much overdue. It was about 8 or 9 months overdue. In the end, I got what I pledged for, but yeah, it just took a while and there was issues with shipping and whatnot. And look, you got to feel for these people because I don't think they're doing it to rip anyone off. But then they hit problems and as long as I think the actual trick is as long as you keep people posted on what's happening, right?
Yeah.
And you're transparent. I think people are fairly understanding. I mean, you might get the rod. Your odd person, you know, arcing up, which is going to happen, mm-hmm. but predominantly people will just, as long as you're transparent, as long as you provide updates, we'll be sweet and we're patient and we'll wait.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with Kickstarters. You got to expect that, I guess. You know what I mean? There's either you're better off having a delay than not getting it released at all and losing your money. Because,
yeah, that's true.
Because in the end, they're not obligated to release anything. It's a risk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a really bad risk. I mean, it's bad on their behalf, but you know what I mean? But look, I think majority of the Kickstarters, I'd say probably 99.9% of them they honor what they're gonna do for your money. So, but anyways, is that it for that? Is that it for our topic?
Yeah. So we've covered the highlights and for this year and our podcast and next year and what we're excited about. And, mm-hmm. you know, since it's the Christmas period, Daz, I don't know, back in the day, mate, did you ever actually get the Christmas special gaming magazines? Any that you're fond of or not fond of or you don't even remember?
Oh, you know what? I mean, I used to buy every magazine known to man that I could. So, to be honest, I've lost track of what was a Christmas one or what. I mean, I would most likely have the Commodore format ones somewhere.
Nice.
You know, I've got near complete collection of that from back in the day, but for some reason it was lost when I moved house. It'll be here somewhere, but I've looked everywhere. Oh,
okay, so it's not totally lost?
I'm hoping.
Oh, well.
I'm crying if I can't find. I cry every time I think about it.
I've got my fingers crossed, man.
Yeah, thank you. Please, just keep crossing them because I've got so many in a folder and they're all mint. But anyway, for me, it sucks, dude, because I can't remember anything that's Christmas related. You know, the only thing I can remember, which I didn't purchase myself, is there was a Christmas Lemmings on the Amiga discs, cover discs, and the Sensible Soccer Christmas disc as well.
Oh, wow.
That Sensible Soccer made for Amiga format.
Oh, really?
I think it's for Amiga format, Amiga Power. I can't remember.
Well, that's actually special,
made
man.
It. Yeah, they actually made that for the magazine.
Wow.
Mm.
That's impressive, man. I definitely don't have I can't top that, man. That's awesome.
I didn't have it. A friend of mine had it.
Yep. But you've got it now.
No, I don't actually have it. I remember my mate having it. Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I'm losing my mind here. Des, it's the end of the year. It's like I've had too many eggnogs and.
We're tired, man. We're tired. It was actually Amiga Power. I'm looking for it now. Yeah. Yes, magazine game demo cover discs.
Yeah. Does that sort of stuff still happen with? I mean, I don't keep up with the gaming mags now, apart from Retro Gamer. But do they actually do that with? I guess they don't have to because everything's downloadable content, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, I could be wrong. I think it was wasn't Sensible Soccer. It was Cannon Fodder.
Well, it's the same people. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's one of those Cannon Fodder Plus.
So Mr. John Hera and Co.
Yeah.
Legends.
But
legends.
Anyway, yeah. Well, that's me for that type of thing.
Well, that's pretty impressive, man. Now, the ones that come to mind for me are two Zap issues: Zap issue 21 of Christmas 86-87. And also the Zap issue, sorry, did I say Zap issue 21? Zap issue 21 of 1986-87 and Zap issue 56 of 89. They're the two. And I specifically remember the 89 one because it had a couple of my favorite games in there. It had Stunt Car Racer, it had Cabal, and it had Turbo Outrun. And if you have a look at the actual Olifrey cover, I think he was still doing them then. It's got Santa Claus with his sack and the Outrun car is bursting out of the sack, running down the actual.
Oh, that would hurt.
Yeah. Boom, boom. I would always actually be hopeful that if only I was in the UK, because I'd always have stuff that you can win, but obviously if you have to be in the UK, because we always got these magazines 2-3 months later. So remember, we will be reading the Christmas special in March. And I know that might sound foreign to people in the UK, but yeah, it's, the magazines we used to get, they were on the slow boat from England to Australia. And,
pretty much.
And look, and I remember there was, obviously if you subscribed and paid the hefty price, you would get it, that particular month, but that was never an option for me. So, but that particular issue 56 of Zap 64 Amiga, December 89, yeah, those games, especially Cabal and Stunt Car Racer, which I absolutely adore and I still love playing them on the Commodore 64, so... Yeah, they're always come to mind around this time of year. And look, the other one, and I might cheat here because it's not really 8 or 16 bit computer related, is the Meme Machines magazine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would have been a fan of that.
I loved it. Yeah, I've actually still got a few of them.
Yeah. If you do have a few of them, look for issue 15, right, which is Christmas 1991. And what they do is the staff, the writers and editorial, they're asked all these silly questions and they give you all these silly answers. And for instance, Julian Jazz Rignall gets asked, what's your favorite mug? He says, my Denny's mug, which changes color when you put tea in it. Now, that's back in 1991. I was wrapped getting a mug that did that with Pac-Man on it.
Yeah, that's right, so. Yeah,
and his favorite films, Dark Star, Blade Runner, Terminator 1 and 2, well done, Jazz, Apocalypse Now, and all the Star Wars films, so there we go. Favorite football team, Southend, go Jazz, jeez.
So I don't even know what that is, what team is that? South what?
Oh, Southend. He goes for the Southend football club or soccer club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and okay, so they're asking about all these questions: favorite food, favorite magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it was GTI performance cars. Okay, there we go. Favorite clothing, rugby shirts. Oh dear. Favorite place in the world: the abandoned Drovers Road on Mignod Drum near Tregaron, Mid Wales. No idea what that means. Hopefully, someone in the UK can enlighten us. But yeah, that. that particular issue I really, really liked. Oh, look, all the issues were awesome, but I love when they chuck in those extra bits and pieces around Christmas time.
Mm. It makes it more personal, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, it feels personal, yeah.
It definitely does, man. It definitely does.
Cool.
And speaking of Christmas, Des.
Yeah.
What would you like Santa? I know, well, this might have been the 2016 highlights, but not for 2016, but right now, if you could write a list out for Santa Claus, what would you have him bring you for Christmas?
His big sack. Of gifts. What's so funny?
Oh, dear.
you gotta keep me in line, Alex.
Oh, man. I'm totally out of sorts tonight. I don't know what that was wrong with. I'm telling you, I think I need to be taken out and
dragged on the floor and
absolutely. Yeah. I'm not with it. I'm just so slow tonight. What's going on?
I was gonna keep going with that joke, but I won't. What would I like Santa bring me next for this Christmas? A Vectrex, obviously. That would be great.
That would be awesome.
But probably an MSX2, even though I've got a number one. I would like a 2. That was the one I really wanted, but that's drug money.
Yeah.
So yeah, an MSX2 would be great. Yep.
That would be awesome. No arcade machines. I know we're
Oh, arcade. Oh, if you're going to go arcade machines, geez, far out. First, I'll have to extend my room.
So you'll be asking for a builder and an architect.
That's correct. Yeah, that first. Well, if you're going arcade, still one of my. I've got my two dream cabs that I would still love to have would be a Chase HQ cabinet.
Oh, very nice.
With original decals and everything. And Midnight Resistance.
Nice.
Yeah, I love that. I love the rotary joysticks and etc. And that's a game you just can't emulate on MAME. It just doesn't work because you need the rotary stick. So
nice. Now speaking of Chase HQ, man, I put on Twitter the other day. I was reading the Games Machine or the Game Machine mag from I think May 1990 might have been, and they actually had Chase HQ on the Commodore 64 and Chase HQ on the Speccy.
Yes,
and
I saw that. Yep.
But yeah, man, the Speccy one just looked amazing. And so straight away I thought of you. I thought, yeah, Daz, mate, Daz knows his stuff. And I know you're a Chase HQ fan, so you would be an aficionado to say if it's good or bad. So,
dude, I have to say it's the best home port I've played.
That's amazing, man. The fact that, you know, the computer, the limitations of it and the fact that it can pump out, you know, Chase HQ, that's just mind-boggling.
I mean, the Amstrad one looks better and is a great port. I'm not saying it's crap. It is actually really good, but the Spectrum is just that little bit better, I think, personally. But yeah, I think it's better than the Amiga one. The Amiga one looks nice, but it just doesn't play as smooth. It's just the Spectrum is just, it's just smooth. It just plays fantastic. It might not be the prettiest, but it's good for what the machine is.
Fantastic.
That's just an honest opinion, you know. I mean, like I said on the Speccy podcast, it's like you can't bag its graphics. I mean, that's the console. I mean, it's bagging that, saying it's got crap graphics, is like bagging the Game Boy. It's the same thing. Get what I mean?
Yeah.
The Game Boy's just two colours. The Spectrum has at least got more colours, but it's just messy. So the color clash and so on, you know what I mean? But you know,
that's anyway. Was there anything else, mate? If you were sitting on Santa's knee,
Santa's knee,
dude, get your mind out of the gutter, please.
What are you talking about?
Well,
I'm sitting on his knee and he's kicking, he's like bouncing his knee up and down so I can, like. Yeah. You know, it's like he's bouncing me so I can think a bit more.
Oh,
no. Any sacks just fell on the floor.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez. Okay, you know what? What I really want, And I know I'm probably never going to own one because I just can't find one. If I do find one, it's not working. It's a Commodore 128. D.
Oh, really?
D.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd rather the D.
Dude, seriously, keep an eye on Gumtree.
I find, you know where I find them? In the US.
Oh, wow. Now I'm absolutely shocked.
Okay. Yeah, my wife was actually looking for me the other night. I don't know why, because I was watching something on YouTube, and it was like the 10 worst computers ever. And that was on there. I'm like, you bastards.
No but, way.
Yeah, it was there.
No. Obviously, this person didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
Yeah, it was saying because it didn't sell well, and it was pretty much a waste of time because people just used it for the C64 capabilities anyway.
Well, from that perspective, yes, right? Mm. That's one. Well, actually, as a matter of interest, what was one? What was the worst?
Well, it got me thinking now. I can't remember.
But that might be an episode in the future that we can do, right?
Well, yeah, I was actually going to post a video on our page, but I forgot. I can let you know.
No, that's all right. That's fine. But I'm absolutely flabbergasted that the Commodore 128's on there. But look, from that perspective, yes, if I had one back in the day, it would have just purely been to play Commodore 64 games on it. And I don't know, was there any specific 128 games released? I don't think there were. Or maybe there was.
As far as I know, there's like three or four. The Rocky Horror Show was one.
Okay.
I think, don't quote me, but I think Frankie Goes to Hollywood was as well.
Oh, wow.
The Last V8. I could be wrong. I just can't remember.
So it's pretty much like the Super Graphics PC Engine.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, just released seven games for it and use the back lobby of the PC Engine. Okay, fair enough.
Well, I'm actually looking now. Let's have a look.
But I'll tell you what, mate. I'll keep an eye out for you as well.
Yes, please.
Will do.
There's a few here. There's a few. Nah, but that doesn't make sense. Because you've got Zork 1. And that's that's like 1980, so I don't get it.
Here we go. Well, we can ask people that are listening to this podcast if they know of anyone or anything or anywhere that's Commodore 128D. Daz would love to know about it.
Okay, I've actually found them. There's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 26,
28, 30, 31 games. Oh, okay. All right. So it's better than the Super Graphics.
Yeah. Let's see what. Kickstart 2. That's a highlight. Last V8. Geez, that game's hard. Rocky Horror Show, as I said. Tetris. The thing. It's not really worth buying for just for that. I think it'd be more of a. As a piece just to look at and put on your shelf, I guess.
Wow.
But yeah. Anyway. Okay, what about you? What do you want Santa to get you?
Now, look, if I was to keep it 8 or 16-bit, I would love a Commodore 64 Goldeen edition. Now, that's the one that was released in Germany when they sold a million Commodore 64s. And I think the last one that went on eBay sold for around $3,500. And that is without the authentic certificate to state that it is a Goldeen edition. It looked like it was. So the fact that, it went for that much without it is basically, it tells you that I probably won't be getting that anytime soon. And look, the other one that's non-computer related is a Game of Thrones pinball machine. Now, I know Santa might have trouble putting that on his sleigh and bring it down to our joint, and I don't think he can squeeze it down the fireplace, so I don't know how he's going to bring that over. But yeah, I think I've been good enough this year for him to bring me that. But yeah, if he brought me the Commodore 64 Goldeen, I won't argue.
All right, I'll bring you one. But he used to say that person that sold it got the case made up.
Well, that's the other thing. That's actually a very, very good point. And that's why, look, there was something, it just didn't feel right. It actually sold for, I think, under $3,000. And then within a week, it was back up there. And then I thought, well, something doesn't smell right with this, if you got that much, why wouldn't you sell? Because it was from an estate, I think, the way the actual wording said
Okay.
it about the ad. So if it's from an estate and you don't know what it is, well, the fact that you sold it for that much and then you really didn't sell it and then you're putting it back on, it means that you know what it is and you know what it's worth, and you obviously want more money for it, but you're right. That's why, I wouldn't necessarily fork. Look, if it went for a few hundred bucks, I probably would, but $3,000, I'd definitely want something to state that it is genuine. So
that's like a quarter of the price of your Game of Thrones pinball machine.
Well, there we
it?
Go. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So yeah, that's why I'd rather Santa bring me that than me actually redrawing from the mortgage to actually get one.
Yeah, that's right.
Dear God. But we actually did ask the audience on Facebook and Twitter about what retro gaming, 8 or 16-bit goodies they would like Santa to bring them for Christmas.
All right, cool. Well, I'll start off with the Facebook wall.
Yeah, go for it, man.
How's that sound? Okay. Let's go to Farchbook. Your friend Farchbook. God, I can talk crap. All right. Mark.
So I was actually laughing then, but I was on mute.
Oh, were you? Oh, no, I was thinking that's rude.
Sorry, man. Okay. Sorry, dog.
All right. Mark Kassar, fellow RD brethren. I would like a ZX Spectrum Plus 2. I was surprised he said that. And an Amiga 1200, please. Both are reasonable requests. Sticks his tongue out.
I reckon they are very, very reasonable requests. And there was more to that, wasn't there?
Yes. I go, how about an Entrance CPC? And then Mark replies, but I've been good this year. I don't deserve to be punished. But I go, Mark, please.
Very, very clever.
There he is.
So he's a legend, isn't he?
Yeah. Okay, next one. Graham Wopke. A Sharp X68000 Ace computer in working condition would be a dream, but I would settle for a PAL version of the Akai Katana on Xbox. Akai Katana on Xbox 360. Not retro, but attainable at least.
Nice.
I think I've got that game.
Oh.
Have I got that game? Let me have a look. I can look right now. Because if it's the one I'm thinking of, it doesn't go for that much money. Yes, I do. Yeah, I just actually saw it at EB for about $12 the other day.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, hopefully it's not going for much elsewhere. Anyway, Michael Mulhern, a complete set of Mint Avalon Hill games. Now, I had to look those up because I didn't know what they were. they're like board games. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and they're very expensive. Very, very expensive.
And that's why we want Santa to bring those for us, yes.
Exactly, so I don't blame him. Tim Arnold. Brethren as well from RD. Not games per se, but the Streets of Rage soundtrack on vinyl.
Nice.
Yeah, he's got a vinyl kick at the moment. He's going crazy with the vinyl, so
yeah,
he's enjoying the good old retro days of vinyl. And it's got a specific sound, so I like the sound of vinyl as well. So
yeah, that's another thing that I'd hate to get into because, I could go crazy. I can just see myself going crazy on vinyl. So, good pick there, Timmy.
Well, that's the Facebook wall.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, we'll move right along straight to Twitter.
Yeah, the Twitter.
Twitter. Twitter, man. Come on, dude. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean others don't.
The Twitter. Don't get angry, man. Don't get angry.
Come on, man. Come on. Right. I try to interact with you on Twitter, but you're never on there. So
I'm never on it.
Bloody Daz.
I hate it, but yeah, go. It's your friend. You like it. You're the Twitter king, so.
I love Twitter. Gazunta, Cameron Davis, blow the cartridge, hey, dude. He just wants time to play what he already has. Yep.
Fair call.
We said that earlier in the episode. Definitely. So that's quite good. So Santa, if you're listening, we need time, man. Come on. Rob Caporetto. Hey, Rob. He's saying, oh, that's a hard one. Maybe a MSX2 or an Apple 2GS for machines or a flash card for the Atari 8-bits so I can play Space Harrier. So there we go. You've got a bit of competition there, Daz, for the MSX2.
Oh, okay, Rob. I mean, if you can afford it, go for it. Because I can't at the moment. You got first dibs.
I think both machines, the MSX2 and the Apple 2GS, they are relatively not cheap, I would say. Rajesh Singh, or Shock Design, probably just the final bits I need to get to set up this Atari 1040 STE, a GoTech, and a composite cable. Well, you're an absolute legend, Rajesh. The fact that you've got an Atari STE, and you didn't actually throw in Amiga in there at all. That's fantastic. I reckon Santa will definitely bring you those. Mark D. Isaacson, the ability to forget modern game graphics, so my Game Boy feels new and exciting again. Yeah. Nostalgia, mate. It's called nostalgia. It's
good. Exactly, man. You know, just pretend. Just that's it. No, you can forget, man. Just keep playing it.
Well, this is what I was talking about. Our imagination back in the day, and I'm going to go off on a tangent here, was just so rich because, you could devise anything in your head. And, I did that with Double Dragon because I hated it so much, but in my head it was, almost arcade perfect.
Oh, dear. Exactly.
Always have to. You've actually made note that I've brought up Double Dragon, I think, in every single episode. God, I'm still devastated. Stephen Idaho, I hope I pronounced that right. Spike McFang for the Super Nintendo, Alien 3 for the NES, and Desert Strike for the Game Gear. Please and thank you. Well, there we go. He's asking nicely. So, Spike McFang.
Well, Spike, just close your eyes and reach out your hand and see if you can feel Santa's sack.
Really? Is it that hard to get, is it?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Jeez, you.
Come on, switch on, man.
You're obviously 100 miles in front of me, man, because I am so slow tonight. This is embarrassing.
You're an Atari ST, I told you.
Oh, dude. You've played that beautifully. You've absolutely. Yeah. You bastard. Okay. Chris Van Grass. Hey, Chris. Oh, yeah. A FM Towns Marty under the tree would be a nice surprise. Well, Chris has got very, very great great taste. An FM Towns Marty with the Sharp X68 1000 that Graham wants. Yeah, that'll be awesome. Nakamura Martin, he's saying, honestly, nothing I really want at the moment. Wow. Well, there we go. I think Santa can definitely bring that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Our friend Aaron White, Azar, hey, the chiptune king. The last few rare ocean games that I need to complete my Commodore 64 collection. Wow.
Yeah, I would assume probably the cartridge ones.
Oh, wow. That is pretty cool feat. And hopefully Santa will be kind. Our friend from Bris Vegas, Ant Stiller. Hey, Ant. Thank you very much for being on last podcast.
Yes.
I've been ever so good, so I'd better get a damn Vectrex this year, Santa. So, Santa, you've been warned.
Hey, he's coming to my house first, Ant. Sorry, mate.
Well, it looks like you have got a few people that you're going to contend with here, mate. Rob Caporetto with the MSX2 and Ant Stiller with the Vectrex.
And I'm going to hold on to Santa's sack so hard.
Oh, jeez, mate. That Santa's sack, I tell you. Far out. He must have balls of steel in that sack, I tell you. Last but not least, Sarah UK. Santa is bringing me a Phoenix Board Plus Jammer Harness. So that's me grailed. Well done.
Nice, man.
But he says an AES or a Mark III Famicom or a Japanese Mega Drive would be nice. Oh, and he also adds time to play. Well, on that note, yes.
Yeah, so, number one, I think that one.
So, dear Santa, please grant those wishes if you can. It will be much appreciated. I'm pretty sure everyone's been quite nice this year. No one's been naughty. So, all that stuff that's on there, it will happen. Well, I hope so.
Just don't let go of that sack.
The sack joke.
It's not gonna... All right, enough of the sack jokes.
No, it's not going to get old, dude. It's not going to get old.
You reckon?
I love it. I'm slowly catching up. Slowly.
Okay.
Very, very slowly.
Okay, cool. Well, look, you know what he likes? Because that sack, right? Because it can be a bit heavy. He likes to balance it on the end of your chin. So give that a go. And he might give you your present.
Oh, dear.
It's a bit red at the moment.
I just hope that no one under the age of 18 is listening to this now.
What? What's? I'm not doing. I'm not saying anything dirty. It's a Christmas sack.
Ah, fair enough. Okay.
Oh, come on, make it out of the gutter.
If someone young is listening to it with their adult, with their mother or father, and they're asking them questions, please send your irate notes back to Daz.
Yes.
Right, and Daz can do a reply like they used to do in the magazines.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to do that.
And the mail is going to come in a red sack. You know that, right?
See, stop talking. Your coming sack. You're too dirty. You're being too dirty.
Oh my lord. Oh my lord.
Now with that, we have a conclusion for tonight.
Oh my lord. So we've been going great all year, and now it's just descended into absolute anarchy and ribald.
Phil, you know what? I'm not even drinking. I'm just on. I'm just on Panadol because I got a headache. How's that? Lucky I wasn't drinking. Well, it's festive, dude. Geez. It's Christmas. It's festive.
Geez, imagine. You're right. It is. It is the festive season, and it is the Christmas shenanigans episode. So
there you go. Yeah,
bear with us. You know.
Oh, bear with me, I'd say.
Oh dear God. How many times have I said that this episode, eh? No, it's been a fun ride, Daz. 2015
yes.
has been awesome. Looking forward to an even awesomer 2016. And yeah, we wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. Hope you stay safe and have fun. And you know, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, enjoy the snow. And if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, man, enjoy the heat. Hopefully it's a nice warm one.
Not too hot, though.
Thank our audience, people tuning in, listening in, you know, getting on social media, responding to our questions, and just engaging. It's been great. Can't wait to have the publisher of choice back for next year, so we missed that in this episode.
I was going to suggest something, but yeah, I mean, we've just been busy as hell, so, you know, some things do slip through the cracks, but...
Yeah, they do, they do. Yeah. And yeah, we just wanted to end the year with just a reflection and highlights and...
Pretty much a casual chat, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, a light-hearted casual chat.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to add, what I'm looking forward to 2016 is meeting even more awesome people. That should go without saying. So, I've met great people over the years, and people that I obviously call my very good friends now. And so he's hoping that I'll meet more of you in person, and we can chat about all the old stuff and reminisce about those years that that we look back so fondly on.
The days of old, as they say.
The days of old. I like that all the time with rock and roll. Obviously, I shouldn't sing.
Are you keeping up with the Commodore?
Because the Commodore is keeping up with you.
Yeah.
God, I love that commercial.
Yeah, this is so good. It makes you so upbeat. And yeah, geez, another tangent. Here we go.
I just hope you work your magic and you actually slot that soundbite into the podcast somewhere, please.
I can do that for
you. Oh, you're the best, Daz. I'm going to give you a big, big kiss. Not on Santa's sack.
What? That's disgusting, Alex. Why would you say something like that?
Oh, man.
Why are you talking about his sack? I'll chuck in that. I'll chuck in that music for
I
you.
I should be banned.
You should. But cool. All right, let's go for our shout-outs and thank yous. Yeah?
Go for it, man.
Well, big shout-out. I'll just mirror what Alex pretty much said. Thank you for all the listeners who have supported us this whole year. I didn't expect it to be as successful as it's been, you know, so I really appreciate it. So, like I said, we do this for fun because, we love doing it and we have the same love for the same things. So, getting people to actually listen to us is fantastic. So, thank you for that. Thanks for the support from my friends and family. for this year. I've gone through a lot personally as well, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without my friends and family as well. Thank you to Alex too, because you've been a champ.
Oh.
You've been fantastic, so that's great.
Thanks,
So
Dad.
thanks for that. Yeah, thanks to everyone that listens on the RD podcast as well and supports us there. Really appreciate that as well. We're just finishing off our probably 3.5 years now, so
Oh, wow.
yeah, that's still going strong, and we're nearly hitting 100 episodes. We're just gonna be doing episode 80.
Oh, that's huge, man.
So I think it's 80. Yeah, it is 80. And yeah, shout outs. Yeah, also shout outs to the Plus Three to Geekdom guys, Mark and Tim as well. Also the Consolidation crew, Pete and all the guys. Shout out to them. And yeah, that's it for me.
Mate, I reckon you've covered the whole spectrum there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. No, look, man, same thing. Thankful to all my friends and family for their support. Everyone that tunes in to listens, interacts. You guys are awesome. Please keep it up. We love the community and the fact that we all share a genuine passion for this hobby, if you want to call it a hobby. Some might say it's a way of life. No, it's really, really enjoyable, and yeah, it's. I know it brings me a lot of happiness and joy to talk to people and to talk about these things that we love. So yeah, to everyone that indulges me in retro gaming, thank you very, very much. And yeah, you guys are all awesome. Just keep on being awesome, and
Very
that's it.
nice. That's it. So that's it for the year.
Wow, Daz.
We
Episode
did
9,
it.
eh? And the last episode of 2015. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Woo!
Woohoo, yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us today. Again, thank you from the both of us. And we'll see you next year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yes, and stay safe. And here
Yeah.
we go with a nice Christmas track to finish it off by Aaron White. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.